This is exactly right.
Forgive me for interrupting. I'm Bridger Weiniger, host of I Said No Gifts on Exactly Right. Each week, I invite my favorite people in comedy over to chat, and they always bring a gift. We're coming up on our 200th episode, and every episode is a gem. I have welcomed all kinds of great guests, including Cola Scola, Bowen Yang, Robbie Hoffman. It goes on and on and on. And you don't want to miss the 200th episode with the great Maria Bamford. What does she bring me? Find out April 25th. New episodes every Thursday. Follow I Said No Gifts wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Babs Gray, and I think my piano teacher and I are becoming friends.
I'm Brandy Posey, and prove to me that Tom Clancy and John Grisham are two different people. I cannot and will not believe it.
I'm Tess Barker, and I'm not materialistic. Wait, are fancy wine and food materials? And also, what about vacations?
And this is Lady to Lady.
Can you keep a secret?
Neither can we.
Hello! We got Barbara, Brandy, and of course, Big Tess. We got a show for everyone that's the fucking best. Come on, baby, it's time to hang out with your favorite ladies. Ladies and ladies, ladies and ladies.
Ba-ba, it's hot and sweaty.
And so are we.
And so are we. It's not on fire. Last time we recorded, it was on fire. It's not right now. It will probably will be when you listen to this.
We're entering fire season, which is fire always.
Mm-hmm. Our world's on fire. How about yours?
Your sex is on fire. Our world is on fire.
Hey, I'm always in fire season. Fire crotch season,
Hello.
Baby.
As long as you guys know, we're all stars.
Duh, that's why they're listening. Let's bring out our guest. She's a super funny comedian. She's a writer for The Hard Times and Slackjaw. Ella Gale, hi.
Hello. Yeah.
Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I was about to say this is so stupid.
Go on.
Before we started, we turned off the AC and Tess had a remote for it. And I'm thinking about getting a clapper, you guys.
Love it.
Aunt Babs.
Love
it. It's
Aunt.
It's again, Aunt. Yeah.
First of all, I mean, just that jingle alone, it's so nice to be reminded of it because I hadn't even thought about the clapper song in a while.
Oh, wow. I forgot about it totally.
That's clap on. Clap off. Clap on,
I was looking
clap
at us like,
off.
Oh no.
The clapper.
Yeah.
Do you not know it?
No, I mean, I assume you clap and things happen.
Were you one of these kids who didn't see TV or something?
We had TV, but my family never had cable.
Mine either. I knew about the
My parents got cable like 4 years, like really, like in the past couple years. It was crazy.
Maybe I saw the clapper at my grandma's house because that's where I had access to cable.
I like that they have
like a grandma thing.
Yeah.
They have not updated the look of the packaging on the clapper since 1994.
It's like,
it's still that one. It's like that old lady on it.
Can I
right?
see it?
Yeah, yeah. It's still just
you gotta get this.
It's a very 90s font. It's just like, they haven't changed that box in forever.
Whoever that hand model is long gone.
Yeah, she's like, she has it framed in her house. Those used to be my hands.
But also, as far as being a hand model, to be the clapper hand.
Oh, yeah. Iconic.
Oh, absolutely.
3.5 stars on Amazon.
Do you think the clapper hand lady brings it up at parties still? I would.
Absolutely. Every time she like goes, I'll pay the bill, and she reaches her hand across the table, she pauses for a second just to like let everyone look at it in the light.
The bill. what made you think about the clapper bats?
Well, my back is getting very bad.
Okay, this is getting very antsy.
This is getting very sad.
Oh, no.
Antsy. But whenever I get up from my bed, like, it hurts. And so I don't want to have to get up.
I like it.
Wait. I have another made for seen on TV item that I want to see if you guys have heard anything about. That thing that you're supposed to wear on your shoulders that holds your posture back.
Oh, yeah, sure.
It looks like a tiny backpack, but it like pulls your shoulders back. Has anybody heard anything about that?
No, but that sounds like something I would love to try.
Yeah. Every time I see it, I'm like, maybe.
Yeah.
I've just committed to being a spineless weirdo.
That's a choice too.
Slumped forever.
I know. I'm kind of at that point too. I'm like, it's not going to change.
Also, because I'm so tall, I feel like if I had good posture, I'm even bigger then.
Yeah, I have the same issue. I'm tall, and you know what it is? I had an ex tell me that I had bad posture, and I'm like out to prove him wrong still.
Oh, okay.
See, spite. Spite yeah. rules your life. Absolutely. 100%.
Now that we're
you have spite posture.
I kind of have spite posture. Yeah. And I will never forget where and when I was when I was told I had bad posture by someone I was sleeping with, but it won't happen again.
Have you seen...
That's perfect.
Have you seen the trailer for Netflix's Tall Girl?
No.
Oh, yeah. I saw your tweet about
it's
that.
It's horrifying.
It's weird. It's literally like a movie where they're like, well, you're the tall girl. No one likes you.
Yeah, she's 6'1".
People don't like us?
There's a line where a guy looks at her and he's like, you can't, what, do you just expect someone perfect and even taller to walk in the door right
yes,
now?
Yes, I do.
And I so badly want to make a sketch called Fat Girl where yes. somebody is like, do you expect somebody perfect and even fatter to walk in the door?
Yeah.
And then just like a really hot
oh, man.
Fat wow. guy walks in.
So we got truly tallism insane. Going on.
Yeah, but yeah. it's like literally everything in her life is like defined by her being tall. And she like...
It's called Tall Girl.
It's called Tall Girl.
How tall is she?
Yeah, how tall is she?
Feet? She's 6'1". And
oh, that's not even that tall. Normal tall
yeah,
girl.
Yeah, it's normal tall.
Yeah. Anyway, personally offensive to me.
Wow!
And there's not even a scene of her like getting a good view at a concert or reaching
I'm trying to,
an
like,
object.
Yeah, looking good in a drapey dress.
Mm-hmm. Is she like getting a glass down from the top shelf for her fiance and he's like, that's it, I can't handle it anymore!
This is bullshit. Models are tall girls.
Yes.
Yeah, she's in high school. It's a high school thing. Like it's a high school, like, look at the thing that makes you different but also special.
Right. Maybe that's the lesson she learns at the end is that models are tall girls.
But what is it? Is there some kind of weird makeover in it? Because I was like, there's a weird part where I think they try to make her look shorter with like tricks of clothing tricks.
Oh my god.
Or like there's a scene where her dad's like talking about her being different and how he wants to help and it's like, what are you gonna do, cut off her feet?
Yeah, what the hell.
Actually, that is a horror movie I would love.
Yeah, yes,
exactly.
But as like a regular, just very weird.
It's very didn't they also wow. they did, wasn't it Netflix or some other, I think it was Netflix, that had they had some kind of like, oh, what the fuck was it? It was a show about a fat girl who like changes bodies or something. I can't remember. It was also like offensive in a similar way.
Oh, she gets her jaw wired shut and she loses a bunch of weight.
Oh,
and then
that's
she becomes
what it was.
A pageant queen.
Ugh. Oh, okay.
And
oh,
it
wow.
had a terrible name that I no longer
this
remember.
Is this a TV show or a movie?
It was a movie, a Netflix movie.
Netflix movie.
Oh, wow. But it was the same vein where you're like, what? Let's just, what are we doing?
Was Netflix quality at one point? And now they've just like continued.
I think
to they're
speak. Quantity now.
Yeah.
They run the gamut because they do make some really good stuff.
Yeah.
I think Netflix is also trying to like jump in on like the Lifetime movie, like Hallmark Channel. They like want to be all the channels instead of just the like
exactly.
That's
smart,
yeah,
good
that's
TV
true.
Channels.
They're
they also want to
be HBO and Lifetime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Were either of you bullied for being tall ever?
No.
I mean, I still feel like there's some stuff where it's like, it's not always ideal. I don't know. As a lady,
for sure.
you are supposed to be tiny,
it's
right?
It's whatever the mm-hmm. female version of emasculating is, mm-hmm. that.
Okay.
It's that. Mm-hmm. It's like people, it's like, you're just constantly, I don't know, or at least I feel like you're constantly not feeling quite as feminine as okay. other women because
got it.
You are just taller than everyone.
Do you think that is due to your height or just like your joie de vivre in general? Like, because like you're a very like outgoing, fun person anyway. Like,
yeah.
I feel like I emasculate a lot of people and I'm like 5'6".
Yeah, I think it's just, it's hard to explain. It's kind of like a... Just when you loom over everyone.
I mean, honestly, it sounds great.
Also,
it sounds pretty fun. I wish I was taller.
It should be called Looming Girl.
Yeah. Just she fills a doorway.
The loomer.
The shadow takes up the full doorway.
And like she's going into prom and just her shadow is cast across the entire dance floor.
Total eclipse of the loomer.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think tallness too, the interesting thing about tallness is like if you are a shorter person and you want to be taller, you can wear heels.
Yeah.
If you're tall,
yeah, you
like,
can't really go the other
you
way.
You can't de-tall yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
So I guess there is an element
you can
of that.
Slouch. That's
yeah,
what
you can
do.
Slouch. Yeah, yeah, that's when you did the thing. Yeah.
Yeah, but no, I never felt bullied. I wouldn't say bullied.
No,
yeah,
me neither. Yeah. It's mostly fine.
Because they're afraid of you.
You feel like it was hard to blend in? Because
hard to blend in.
Okay.
And I think I feel safer in public in general, which is a huge benefit.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's good.
So.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, but I think it can have backlash because people are they're like the I just think that people find you like intimidating, physically intimidating.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that sounds great.
It's like anything where people make assumptions, for sure, like just based on.
Just, I was just like trying to rack my brain if like we ever cared that anybody was tall in high school. And I'm like, I don't think that was ever.
I don't know if in mine, but I'm sure it's like kids are fucking pieces of shit. So I'm sure it's happened to someone.
If it's like something, something.
I wonder how tall the author of that screenplay is.
Yeah.
Six. I would guess if it's even a woman, or if it's like a 50-year-old man. We will not be the first people to have googled this.
Yeah, exactly.
I do really want to get in on the ground. I mean, not the ground floor because it's already been happening, but of writing these Lifetime like Christmas movies
seems
and
like
shit.
A blast.
I feel like it'll be good on Netflix because there can be, we can have like terrible gay Christmas movies.
Yeah.
And like,
yes.
Mm-hmm. Like I think you could really do it and just have it be a thing now. And they're shot for like $20,000 or something ridiculous in Canada.
I'm trying to find, track down the writer of this thing. I think it's,
I don't think they can be found.
That's the, on IMDb, this is the only thing they've done.
Oh.
Yeah, it's just writing tall girls.
Passion project.
What's the name? Is it
Sam Wolfson?
That could be a man.
I know, so I can't tell either way. Oh, Angela Kinsey's in it. Steve Zahn. Okay.
My gut feeling tells me it's like a 50-year-old man who just churns out Netflix Christmas movies.
And has something against tall women.
Yeah, exactly. My ex-wife was so tall. She held the divorce papers over my head and I couldn't get them to sign fast enough. He's so mad.
I mean, I feel like if it's a guy who has a thing for tall women.
I could see that. Mm,
yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, I just want him to know how beautiful they are.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. That's what it is.
Wait, Netflix and McG have set their fourth collaboration with Tall Girl.
McG?
McG is involved in Tall Girl.
I asked this, but who's
McG?
Oh
my God, he's the guy who directed fucking Charlie's Angels.
Yeah. Oh.
He was like a big in that era.
Yeah. The plot thickens.
Yeah,
we
yeah.
just recently rewatched Charlie's Angels. And it is just like a
wild
music video without music.
That was McG's whole thing.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Going down that.
Which Charlie's Angels do you guys think you are?
Drew Barrymore.
Drew? Yeah, I could see that.
I'm not any of them. I guess Drew Barrymore because she fucks Tom Green.
Who were the Charlie's Angels?
It was Cameron Diaz, Drew Barrymore, and Lucy Liu.
I feel like I'm Lucy Liu. I don't know.
I think you probably are.
I also haven't seen it in...
But you're like a scientist, right?
She's very driven.
Yeah.
Very driven,
she's like the,
serious.
She's the smart one of the bunch.
Mm-hmm. You're I'm probably Cameron.
I think you are. Yeah, the scene where she's dancing around in her underwear feels like something that happens here on a Tuesday.
It does. I keep open space in my living room so that I can dance around in my underwear.
You get Luke Wilson in the end. That's great.
I want Sam Rockwell. Yes.
Yeah. God damn. I guess you get him for a little bit.
Yeah. I'll take it. And also Tom Green.
Okay, so we were going to read some of Ella's Hard Times headlines because they're so funny.
Heck,
is this
going
to be weird?
Just I'll go with it. Look, do you think I got into comedy to not hear people talk about me?
Okay, that's fair.
Good,
for people that don't know, Hard Times is basically like The Onion, except for like punk and like hardcore and stuff like that.
Yes, yeah. And I'm write a lot for their like offshoot that's like their video games and nerd culture.
Nice.
Which is Hard Drive magazine.
Heck yeah.
And she does, and Slackjaw is another comedy one she writes for, and this is a really good one from there. How to Make New Enemies After 30.
Oh.
Fuck yes. I feel like you just take the people, you know, from your 20s and flick them off one by one.
Reinvent them as enemies.
Yeah.
I feel like you start laughing out loud at the things that you should be keeping inside.
Mm.
I don't know what how
just just radical honesty. I mean, you just do whatever it takes. You got to pay attention to the world around you.
Yeah.
Oh well, then never mind. I'm not gonna. That's not gonna happen.
I think you have to find somebody who you like, maybe could be friends with, but there's one thing off.
Yeah.
That is a good enemy.
Yeah, that's like most of my best enemies are like could have been a friendship except for that one thing.
I took a sketch class with somebody and I was like, it seems like we have a lot in common, but there's just like something I don't like. And she recently started a business where she talks to angels for people. And I was like, well, that's it.
Ding, ding, ding.
I'm like, what a perfect enemy. I hope her angels don't warn her about me.
I know. I don't know if angels have enemies, though. You might be good.
Well, demons, right?
Can't she talk to demons?
I don't know the answer. I guess that's the like
gossip about
gritty reboot of an angel talking business.
You should call her with a demon voice.
I've got to say, the Hard Times polo unfortunately looks a little Proud Boy-esque.
Dude,
yeah. I think that's the bit, though.
Is it?
No. The bit is that, like, so I have that shirt, too. And, yeah. Like, it's a fucking bummer because, like, the two-tone Fred Perry polo has been, like, an iconic.
Oh, of course. Yeah. It's like anything when it gets adapted and they're like, I didn't want this.
Yeah. It's like two-tone ska has, like, had that as, like, part of its uniform forever. And then the fucking Proud Boys
took it.
And then, but, like, Matt, the guy that owns the website, has been trying to put that shirt out since the website started. And he was like, well, I still want it to happen.
I mean, it's a cool shirt.
So, yeah, it's a good shirt.
And, yeah, that's, like, the guy who drew Pepe the Frog is like, What the fuck?
I know. He's like, come on, man. Yeah.
No, I was a big fan of black turtlenecks, and then that Inventor movie came out.
Yeah, and you're blonde. You can't really do it.
What do you guys think about wearing the same thing every day? Like, I do kind of like it.
It's good.
I think it's fun. It sounds great.
Do you guys have an outfit you wear to shows if you're, like, anxious or don't want to decide?
I definitely have, like, a few go-to. I call it, my comedy costume. Like, yeah. Whatever fits me at the time.
I have a limited number of t-shirts. It's always a t-shirt and jeans.
Yeah.
Small number of t-shirts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I have, like, a black Old Navy dress that has accommodated me at every size that I wear to shows I'm just like, what the fuck am I going to wear tonight?
Yeah. Definitely have, like, a couple of t-shirts and then, like, a jean jacket usually. It's, like, the
Yeah. I feel like standard. The pile situation in my room would be greatly, greatly benefited by a one outfit situation.
Yes.
I change sizes so much. Mm-hmm. It's like, what fits me? Does this look okay? Does it look like shit? Or does it look okay now? Yeah. You know, it's just like a fucking nightmare. Yeah.
I could see myself getting to that place and being like, you know what? Fuck all of this. I'm just going to wear black jeans and a black t-shirt every day and be happy with it.
I would still want to go, like, be able to visit my other clothes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, the costume police aren't coming after you. They can have, like, one chunk of your closet that's like, here's, like, the standbys if I want to mix it up.
Yeah, I mean, I could probably even move that operation over to my mom's house.
Mm-hmm. Right, so just there on occasion?
Of course.
I'm such an asshole.
That's
I'm
what mom house is
always
for.
Hauling dresses over to my mom's house.
Can you hold on to this? Is that where your wedding dress is right now?
Absolutely.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, what are you? You're not going to have it in your closet.
I'm keeping it in my own house. No. Here you go, mom.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Yeah, I like to gaze upon my dresses, but I don't wear them often.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely feel that way.
Yeah.
It's just too. If I ever wear a dress, I feel like it's just so much. I don't know. I can't do it feeling comfortable.
Yeah. It feels like a lot most of the time.
I like a dress. I have two categories of dress. I'm like in a house dress situation.
Mm-hmm.
I like a house dress, a maxi dress, if you will. But obviously those are like rattier than, those are like below cutoffs in terms of like being dressed up.
Whoa, really?
Oh yeah, I have some ratty house dresses.
I'm like tripping over myself trying to look at this thing. Okay. All right, let's read some of these.
Okay.
I like every kind of Christian music, except for Christian hip hop and Christian country.
That's fun.
I wrote that one because I was coming home from the airport and my Lyft driver was playing like aggressive Christian hip hop.
I don't think I've heard that.
It was like funny because it was it was like a lot of like pretty violent like tropes and like just like tone patterns almost, but it was all about like popping people with the scripture.
No.
Whoa.
Oh my God. So they're literally just replacing. It was like, it's like South Park when they like were trying to make him a boy band, but just replaced it with Christ or whatever. And they're like, yeah, now it's Christian. That's crazy.
It was like incredible.
Yeah.
And I wanted to listen to more.
Yeah. It sounds pretty awesome.
And maybe someone knows the answer to this, but is Christian music like subdivided? In my head, it's like it all goes on one Sirius XM radio station, but is there subdivisions of like Christian rap, Christian rock?
I think so.
Okay.
I think there's an AM station probably for each one.
I mean, I'll be on FM and I mean, usually it's like the typical stuff you're used to, but it is funny when I'm like, for a second, and I'm like, oh fuck, wait. No.
I know when you get tricked.
Once it kicks in, yeah. You're like, oh, okay. Yeah, I remember there was like, I used to go to the ice rink all the time when I was in like middle school on like Fridays, me and my friend Katie, that was like our tradition. And there was one of the hot rink guard. I became buddies with him, and then his like AIM screen name was DC Talk 99, and then I was like, oh, you like Christian rock, never mind, this will never work.
Wait, DC Talk?
DC Talk is like a Christian band.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And I thought it said DT Talk, like down to talk.
No. DC Talk. Nice. I forget what it stands for, but I remember being like, oh, never mind. That's not going to work. real boner killer.
Could he do tricks? Roller skate tricks?
No. He would just skate around the rink and make sure if you fell, he'd pick you back up. That was kind of his whole thing.
Did you ever fall on purpose? So that
hot? No.
No?
No, uh-uh. No, I like made it a point not to fall in front of him.
Yeah, I kind of go. Yeah, it would have that effect.
Yeah, I kind of go the other way.
It could go both ways, I guess. But
yeah, I'd be like, I don't need you. That's the way that I flirt.
Figure it out. Yeah, I don't need you.
Yeah, exactly.
I've thought about recently actually going for like a quick skate by myself. Like the other day, ooh, I was just in the mood to roller skate, and I'm like, I might just go to Moonlight Rings.
Oh yeah,
and
it's
have a
delightful.
Spin.
You should.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I went roller skating a couple years ago. Super fun. It's yeah, like decent great. Exercise.
I love it.
I've like had a good time.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've ever in my life been to a roller rink by myself. I'm usually there with friends.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I feel like if you just went on like a weekday or something.
Yeah.
Is there like an adult swim hour at roller rinks?
Exactly.
It depends. I know Moonlight, the one that is out here in LA in Glendale, if you're anywhere in LA, it's a great place to go. They have like 18 and older nights. Or maybe even 21 and older nights. But they do have some nights that's like no kids.
Where it just starts fucking on the dance floor.
On the rink. I mean, some of those couples have been skating together forever. Like, probably see it happening.
Oh, I think that there's probably
I would pay for that show.
High crossover in the Venn diagram of those couples who are skating together and going to like key parties.
So, oh, yeah. Without a doubt. Yeah, you keep your skate key right next to your fuck key.
Fuck. Whoever's locker you get, you have to fuck them.
Yeah. Roller key party.
All right. Let's read a few more of these because we got to go on a break.
Okay.
Man at Comic Con panel would like to ask a few quick follow-up statements.
Oh, too true.
That one hurts because it's so true.
Yeah.
That's my favorite article that I've ever written that like has done pretty badly.
Yeah.
Among the nerd community.
Yeah.
Like they were angry or just
I think
didn't
people
do well?
Just like it. Yeah. People didn't like click and like and share. And I'm like, I guess
they're
it
like,
hurt.
Yeah, I don't
bad.
See the problem with it. And.
Here's what I think about that.
Yeah.
No, you were right.
God, there's
right.
always
yeah.
that moment. I haven't been to a lot of Comic-Con things, but I've been to like a decent amount of screenings and stuff. And like, there's always that fucking person who like dips in at the end is like, I just really enjoyed your work in this and the blah, 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 blah. And okay, I'm a filmmaker and I'm just wondering like, how do I get your agent? Like, shut up.
It's always the end of the Q&A. They're always like, that's it. We're done.
Yeah.
I went to like a really interesting panel with the woman who directed The Babadook about her new movie about the Nightingale.
Oh, cool.
Jennifer Kent, and it was moderated by Guillermo del Toro, and I was like sure they were about to take audience questions, and then they were like, that's it, bye, and it was like, hell yeah.
Thank God. Awesome. Can we just like do as a society, can we just eliminate audience questions? Have you guys ever been stoked that there were audience questions happening?
And I always try to think of a good one so that some asshole doesn't have the chance to ask his question, but it's like hard to come up with a question that's like genuinely something you want to know and think others might be interested in,
because
as opposed just
if you're asking a question, that means you shouldn't be.
Like you mean you're the kind of person who should be asking?
If you're the kind of person who thinks your question is enough that other people should be hearing it, you're wrong.
I will say the only Q&A I've ever actually enjoyed was for the Big Trouble Little China 25th anniversary DVD release. John Carpenter did it, who's like the director of it, and he could not have had more disdain for the people asking the questions. They would get up and they'd be like, well, why was this scene cut out of the director's version? He's like, I don't know, because the movie had to be shorter. Why? It happened 25 years ago. The movie didn't make any money. It almost killed my career. And he would do that at every person that got to the microphone. They'd be like, are you ever going to do the soundtrack for more movies? And he's like, I have plenty of music online. None of you guys like it. Like, it I was howling in the back. I've never seen anybody openly hate their fan base that much. It's truly a beautiful thing
to behold.
That sounds
cathartic for them and for everyone else.
I think he had a blast.
Yeah.
He really had a blast.
It's so funny to come to something like that and be like, to actually come to it and then be that mad.
That's pretty great. All right. We are going to go take further questions. We'll be right back.
BRB.
Hey, we're back on Lady to Lady. I'm Brandy.
I'm Babs.
I'm Tess.
And we're here with Ella.
Hi.
Hello. And we're going to play a little game with you that is, what is it? Are we playing this or that?
Yeah. Let's do that one.
It's pretty, you just choose one.
Yeah. One answer is right, one answer is very wrong.
Okay.
Or they're both right.
Or they're both wrong.
Well, it's Labor Day weekend when we're recording this. Got some barbecue questions for you. Macaroni salad, potato salad.
Potato salad.
Mm, I think that's correct.
Incorrect.
You like macaroni salad better than potato salad?
Yeah, I don't like potato salad.
I don't either,
but it's like too intense.
Yeah.
Macaroni salad combines like meaningless carbs with like mayonnaise. I don't know.
That's how I feel.
I guess that's potato.
They're both
okay. Yeah, fine. Yeah. They're both mayonnaise.
I guess potatoes
based.
Can get away with being more meaningful.
Potatoes are more complete food.
Yeah.
When it has like the, I like the red potatoes with like a little bit of the red skin in it too.
Mm-hmm. And that is like, true. That's good. I think I just haven't had a good one for a while.
Yeah.
I don't like a classy potato salad. Like somebody will bring like a German potato with like a vinaigrette, and then there's I just want.
Oh, yeah.
I want potatoes, mayonnaise, mustard.
Yeah.
Maybe like a little pickle relish.
I like a basic barbecue. A
little crunch.
Whenever people come to a barbecue with like their own little like real fancy thing that they make just for two people, I resent that quite a bit. Because it's a common space. Like I've seen a couple people out in LA, they make like real fancy corn, but like just for their two of them.
What? I've not seen those.
You have to bring enough for everyone. I sometimes bring a small veggie thing just because I know not that many people want veggie stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm just doing my own little sad veggie thing.
I am absolutely bringing a single tinfoil wrapped corn cup to my next barbecue. I'm just being like, this is for me.
It used to happen at Andy Wood's house all the time. I saw it like multiple times where I'd be like just watching this couple just cook, like I'd be in the pool just watching them cook two corn cubs, and I'd be like, you motherfuckers.
Also put like a single scallop on the grill.
I know, exactly. This is just for me. Oh man, I'm getting so mad.
That's completely against the rules.
Yeah. Big problem. Okay. Well, in the potato vein, mashed potatoes, baked potatoes.
Mashed.
Yeah, that's the correct answer.
Load them down with butter, salt them properly.
Yeah. I fucking love that shit.
Good answer. Now I just want potatoes.
I know.
Okay, here we go. Scooby-Doo or Tom and Jerry?
Scooby-Doo?
Like, I don't care for either of them.
Yeah, I was like, I don't.
Pass.
Tom and Jerry holds up, I will say. Those are really funny cartoons.
I feel like it probably holds up more than Scooby-Doo does, right?
Probably.
I think so. I haven't watched Scooby-Doo as recently. But I like Scooby-Doo because it's about potheads.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's at least a storyline you can follow them. They're solving crimes. Tom and Jerry, they're just trying to murder each other for 10 minutes.
Yeah. But Tom and Jerry, it's more like choreography with the music. And it's got that appeal of like the old-timey kind of...
Tom and Jerry, Wile E. Coyote, Roadrunner. I think that's
Wile E. Coyote, Roadrunner.
Yeah, that's more one-to-one.
The Roadrunner cartoons are like perfect. But Tom and Jerry is kind of the same format.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Did you guys ever want the coyote to catch the Roadrunner?
Of course.
I mean, I guess that's why you do. But every time I was like, just
get him.
That's what makes them good, I think, is like you kind of want the coyote to get the Roadrunner.
Yeah.
Well, you kind of want Tom to get Jerry.
The Sisyphean task.
Yeah.
I definitely want Tom to get Jerry. Jerry's kind of a little jerk. I don't know why. I just never liked him.
You like Jerry better than the Roadrunner? If you had to choose one to live?
No, I like Roadrunner better. I think I like Roadrunner better. More respect for his spirit.
Have you? I saw a Roadrunner for the first time, and it was really fun.
Ooh,
when
I was in
fun.
Texas.
I've never seen one before.
They're cool. They're like a. It was like this. I'm showing a foot high with my hands.
Yeah. He goes, meet me. Did he do that?
Really? It did not.
He was like,
no.
Did you crash
don't
into a wall?
Don't ask me to do my catchphrase.
You have to pay me for that now. Thank you.
Yeah, that's $20 at the meet and greet.
Yeah. What, Roadrunner was not in Space Jam.
Wasn't he for a minute?
Is he?
I think they're in it. I think him and Coyote are in it for like 2 seconds.
Coyote's on the team.
Oh, right.
Man, it's been a while since
he must show up at some point.
Yeah. I love, have you guys read these rules for the Roadrunner cartoons?
No.
It's like one of my favorite things in all of writing. You guys haven't ever heard these?
No.
Oh, they're so
no.
good.
Okay.
Are these real or are these?
These are real. Okay. They're from the guy who made the cartoons. These were universal rules followed in every episode. Rule number one, the Roadrunner cannot harm the coyote except by going beep, beep. Rule number two, no outside force can harm the coyote, only his own ineptitude or the failure of Acme products. Rule number three, the coyote could stop at any time if he were not a fanatic. Repeat, a fanatic is one who redoubles his effort when he has forgotten his aim. That's from George Santanaya. Rule number four, no dialogue ever except beep, beep. Rule number five, the Roadrunner must stay on the road. Otherwise, logically, he could not be called a Roadrunner. Rule number six, all action must be confined to the natural environment of the two characters, the Southwest American desert. Rule number seven, all materials, tools, weapons, or mechanical conveniences must be obtained from the Acme Corporation. Rule number eight, whenever possible, make gravity the coyote's worst enemy. Rule number nine, the coyote is always more humiliated than harmed by his failures.
Nice.
Are those great?
That's so interesting.
Yeah. That's,
yeah.
I mean, it's something so simple, and then they got so much out of it for so long. That's like a very powerful TV concept.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's just like, I think shows you like the power of constraints.
Yeah, absolutely.
My favorite is the fanatic one, though. The coyote. I think about that like almost every day. The coyote could stop anytime if he were not a fanatic.
These cartoons are actually about addiction.
It's about an open mic comedian.
Yeah, exactly.
But just what? It's so interesting, the Acme Corporation thing. Mm-hmm. Like, what?
Is Acme supposed to represent, like, something specific at the time? Or just, like, a, like, overarching, like, business
monopoly in
general?
I think Acme is, like, the onset of corporate America. It's, like, it's purposely not any one company, because then it's every company.
Yeah.
Right.
It's a parable for the failings of Silicon Valley.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I would love to see a new Roadrunner Coyote, but it's, like, it's, like, Elon Musk is the guy making all the, like, gear, rather than, like, than, like, a 1950s kind of, like, manufacturing gig. It's like a robotics company who's like
yeah
like Coyote runs into the end of the tunnel that's trying to go from Santa Monica
to the moon.
Yeah. Coyote runs into the Hyperloop.
It's the Boring Company instead of Acme now.
Yeah.
That's cool. I like that.
It's so interesting with world building like that. Like it's like, it seems so simple, but you have to, like, put these rules down.
Yeah. Well, and I love how, like they're just so contained and so sparse. Mm-hmm. And it's, like, you look at how complex the cartoons are, and then I just love even, like, the structure of these sentences. They're just so simple.
Yeah.
And people love to see something they've already seen.
It's comforting.
As we all know in comedy, it's, like, the ultimate callback. It's,
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I always liked those old cartoons, too, like, the caricatures of like the 1940s actors that I was like, I don't know who the hell this person is, but it's clearly somebody. Those are always funny. Like there's like weird like background ha cha 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 all these people that I'm like, I don't know who, but then have you ever like known them from a cartoon but then seen them in a movie in real life and then been like, oh,
that's who that was referencing.
That's ha cha cha I get it. Like what's his name with the big eyeballs from Casablanca? Reek.
Oh, Peter Lorre?
Yeah.
Yeah, Peter Lorre was Supes animated.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think like what he was in. He's got kind of a Porky Pig vibe in a way.
Yeah. They did a Bugs Bunny version of Casablanca. There's a movie of it.
Right, they did.
Yeah.
Like a whole movie? Like a feature?
It was like 20, like maybe a half hour or something. Yeah. But it was like basically the Casablanca, but with all of them. And like, it was weird because I remember they made like Bugs Bunny is like, sad like Rick, and it's like he's like they made him like a leading man, and he's not just like I'm fucking Bugs Bunny, deal with it all the time.
I need to watch this because Casablanca is like my favorite movie of all time, and I'm picturing
really
like the poster that I don't know if I've ever seen it though.
I remember really liking it a lot.
Does Bugs Bunny play his own romantic lead in drag? Does he play
Elsa?
Yeah.
Oh man, I don't remember who the gal is. It might have been like a made up bunny. It might have been like a Lola or something like that.
Sure.
Of course.
Which like Lola Bunny's interesting because they just were like, you know what, Space Jam needs sex.
A fuckable bunny.
Yeah, like Got to make
even
sure these
Space Jam's got to have that sex appeal, baby.
Let's get this horny boys in the theater. I know they don't want to just see Michael Jackson or not Michael Jackson, Michael Jordan. Let's put this horny bunny in it.
Was Space Jam before or after Roger Rabbit?
After, yeah.
So they had whet everyone's appetite with Jessica Rabbit, who obviously is not a rabbit.
No. Yeah, but Lola falls in the tradition.
I think so.
Yeah.
Lola is definitely like, Jessica Rabbit is Lola's drag mother.
It's so true.
The Ella, category is okay.
No, you're fine.
Fuckable rabbits.
I was just thinking. Yeah. So you still like do perform science? Is this how you say it? Are you a scientist?
I am not.
Do you do it for work? What kind did you do?
I do not. I was an environmental engineer.
Oh.
So I worked for an engineering consulting company for a couple years.
Oh, okay. So how do you feel about the world like ending?
So I feel like I went into environmental engineering partly because I was like, oh, that's where you learn like pragmatic tools that might make the world a better place. And then like, the way I feel about it is I remember being on a call like right at the start of my engineering career. And, it was like one of the first like team calls I'd been on, and the person leading the call was like, okay, what's our number one goal in this project? Mm-hmm. And I like pressed one of the phone buttons to say, protecting human health and the environment.
Yeah.
But I like didn't have the phone systems worked, so I like hadn't pressed the right button. And then by the time I found it, the rhetorical question had already been answered as protecting corporate liability. And I feel like that is a, like, environmental engineering, it's not necessarily the good guys, it's not the worst of the good, but like you could easily be like working for an oil company trying to like minimize harm reduction of like an offshore oil platform.
Yeah.
And I honestly think like obviously there have been some big fuck ups, but for like a lot of things, it's not even like the drilling, like, isn't the huge problem that we can't manage. The huge problem is that we're going to burn that oil and burn the planet down.
Yeah.
So it's like all these like little things that are like really about like following laws and like not making substantive changes that would actually save the planet. I took a sustainability class that I thought would be like fun and make me feel better, and instead it was like, we're all gonna die, here are some equations that will help you understand how.
That's like, wow. When I went to I think I talked about this, but I went to the Aquarium of the Pacific, and like they were like, come see our show, and I was like, oh cool, you know. And obviously I know things are, you know, I'm not expecting like to be whatever babysat or something, but the entire show was just that they were like, it's all really bad. It's bad. You should help. And I was like, oh no, I thought I was going to see penguins. And yeah, it's a, well, sorry.
Why?
I'm a huge bummer now. So
no, I mean, I asked you,
we need more bummers.
The answer is, it's like, it's greed. We're here because of greed. So that's, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
I was expecting
the actual change that needs to happen will require them, their stockholders not making money for a year or two.
Yeah.
I think there is a problem too of, unfortunately, like, it is easy to hit the snooze button on it for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. I think the immediate results of global warming are not evident in every area of the world. So things that are right in front of people's faces, it's really easy to just pretend like it's not there.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
I certainly do that with traffic tickets, you know, like anything that's not like immediately fucking up your life is really easy to put on the back burner, I think.
Yeah. I think this is why I find like Silicon Valley to be probably like deeply villainous. It's because
For sure.
It's like all about whatever is going to be profitable like next year.
Right.
And like a lot of like, it's like, oh yeah, any kind of like solutions that like somebody will pay a lot of money for.
Yeah.
When like most of the problems we have could be solved by like wide scale social organizing.
Yep.
And cannot be solved by three smart white men in a building.
Yeah.
But like those guys, that's all they know how to do.
Well, yeah. And then you just look at like what has actually happened physically to, you know, San Francisco and stuff. And it's just like, you can't feel really good about yourself, I don't think, when you like see, you know, you walk outside and see like how bad the homeless problem has gotten and stuff because of like moving in there. I just, it's, you're like directly seeing that byproduct of that. I don't know. It really freaks me out.
Yeah. It's horrifying. And they also like have their multi-million dollar bunkers. They're just like, well, if things get too bad, I'll just go underground.
They're gonna die alone in those bunkers.
Although,
because people go and you go insane, you know, it's like.
But they're gonna take a bunch of poor people with them that have to work for them. like they're just gonna.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
They'll have like holograms to fuck and stuff.
Yeah. Well, they want AI, like so badly. I was just listening to something the other day about how like there's a couple of like think tanks in Silicon Valley that are trying to like bring in as many diverse voices as possible to talk about the future of AI, because like if AI is just built by a bunch of like straight white men, then that is like the bias that will be in all AI and robots in the future. So they're trying to be like, oh, we need to get ahead of that and have like, you know, people of color and women and like people of like different genders and sexualities that need to like be inputting like what the hell AI is.
Wow, I didn't even think about that, because of course that's what would be in there automatically.
Yeah,
because it's like, I don't, you guys have probably read about how like algorithms can be racist.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh yeah.
And like sexist and stuff. And it's like, oh yeah, you train an algorithm to read a bunch of resumes based on who you've hired in the past.
Right.
And it's gonna like give women like a lower score because it knows fewer of them have been hired in the past.
So it's like even if we can put a dent in like human patriarchy, that we've already trained the next generation of robots to be.
I'm also like less worried about all of that stuff because I'm not even sure we're gonna get there.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
okay, for sure. That's comforting.
I am kind of at that point where I'm like, okay, I guess this is just
it's like I'm a little excited about self-driving cars because I feel like it'll make the elderly less isolated by the time we're old.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm also like, will there even be a society for us to travel around in?
Yeah. How are we gonna run this clock down?
What is the timeline? Because I would like to know that. Like, if it's time to take out a bunch of credit cards.
When do I really tank my credit score?
Yeah.
Right? Like, the answer, I don't want to tell people now. But, I like, okay, one, that question is, like, far beyond any actual knowledge I have.
Okay.
But,
as a disclaimer, she winked at us when she said that, guys. So whatever happens next is, you know.
But like, it's like, it does feel like paying off your being like financially responsible right now is like a gamble also.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
I knew it.
Tess has been like living for the apocalypse.
This has been my plan since I saw Fight Club in high school. It's all getting blown up.
Have you guys read World War Z?
But I saw the Tom Cruise movie.
Brad Pitt. Right.
Brad Pitt.
Yes.
I've read most
entertaining.
Of it.
I really thought it was Tom Cruise.
Yeah, is Tom Cruise in a movie that's...
He's in a Z movie or something.
No, he's in...
War of the Worlds.
War of the Worlds, yeah.
World movie.
The book is actually extremely compelling and super interesting. And I feel like I'm really drawn to like post-apocalyptic stories where you've kind of like beat the thing and have to rebuild society. Because it's like a lot of people doing actually necessary tasks instead of just like... doing a lot of bullshit that doesn't make sense. It's like, oh yeah, really, if my job was to like design a functioning water system for like a new post-zombie community, like, oh yeah, that's very appealing to think about. Like, you're giving people clean water. Mm-hmm. Whereas if it's like, let's like, I don't know, all the bullshit that we all do every day to make money that like feels really pointless.
Sure. Right. Well, the book is really interesting because it's like a reporter compiling the stories of all these people post zombie apocalypse trying to rebuild the world. So it's like, there's like a Howard Dean type guy that like basically like becomes like this unofficial president. There's like a former celebrity that like finds, had a very meaningless life as this like rich celebrity guy. And then he finds meaning and being able to like help people and like learn to like build things with his hands and stuff like that. And it like talks about how like in different parts of like the world, like how different countries handle the zombie apocalypse, because it happens all over the world. And like, was it North Korea where everyone just disappeared? Is that the country that it is?
Yeah, they just don't really know.
They don't know what happened. Everyone just like went to a mountain, and it's like, are there zombies in there? Is everybody dead? Who knows? We can't, and you're not going to open that to find out. But like, it's like, it's very, very cool, like the way that everybody would handle it differently.
This may be dumb and self-important, but I do feel like comedy is not the worst skill to have in an apocalypse. Because I don't think we're ever gonna not
Yeah.
First of all, comedians, we have a skill that can be performed in front of like people with no technology.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's like that might still be valuable in like a dark world.
I mean, I think especially, I will say, female comedians will be
absolutely
less helpless than most people.
I've been spending so much time building a new house for myself. My hands are too hard. My hands have too many calluses to masturbate anymore. That's going to be guy comics.
Oh, no, I didn't mean they would be building houses. I meant they were like, I think they're done.
Yeah.
We've already,
like, no Hot Pockets. We're finished.
That's true. If we don't feed them, we'll decide.
True.
We'll be the ones deciding that.
But we've already spent a lot of time in like basements, like batting off pasty weirdos.
Very true.
Yeah, we're ready.
Oh yeah. We have our pony and dance show, our dog and pony show, pony and dance show, ready to go for the end times.
We have our dressage.
Yes. We'll all just, a bat signal will come up in the sky and we'll all just nod and know it's time.
How funny would it be if you got like
no golden bikinis for us?
No.
Hey,
I mean, I would
it.
Be into wearing that, but not chained to Jabba.
Yeah, yeah.
I bet he's soft though.
That's
probably
true.
Cuddly. He looks comfy.
Yeah.
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 Jabba the Hutt would make a good couch.
Lots of, he's very
if it's cold.
Wordy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you think he's warm? Or you think, what, he's sticky to the touch probably a little
Parts
bit.
Of
no,
warm.
I feel like it's like a snake. It's just like smooth.
Okay. Or maybe
I'm
like,
like a beanbag.
Defensive.
I picture Jabba the Hutt somewhat sticky. Like those toy slugs you get at the science museum.
Mm. Oh, yeah, I mean, his mouth definitely has a lot of stickiness going on.
Yeah. I would not want to make out with him. But would I let him?
I don't think you could, because your whole head like go inside his mouth.
That's true.
I think it's just him licking you like a lollipop. Is how that works.
All right, we'll take a break.
Sorry, we'll be right back. Here's some ads.
We're back. I'm Babs.
I'm Brandy.
I'm Tess.
And we're with Ella Gale.
Hi.
Hope we didn't make you guys too sad, but that's life.
Or take out a lot of credit card debt. We are not liable.
We're just trying to keep you informed so you can make the right irresponsible decisions.
Yeah, exactly.
Do that if you want. That's not our problem if you do.
Yeah.
We're going to solve some lady problems right now. If you have a lady problem, send them to us at ladytoladycomedy@gmail.com. You can also, one of these we're going to read is coming from our Facebook group. Come join that. It's a really fun group. People post stuff all the time. They talk about lady problems that are, you know, they need advice on immediately. If you just look up Lady to Lady Podcast on Facebook, you will find it there. Mm-hmm.
Lady problems. Lady problems. Do you have them? Lady problems. Do you have them? People have them.
I'm so excited. I'm like kind of obsessed with advice columns, and a secret dream of mine is to be an advice columnist.
Ooh,
what's your fucking opportunity right now?
Yeah, you can help us out here. Okay, so here we go. Hey, everyone. This show absolutely makes my day. Oh, my gosh. Thank you. I've been listening during my work commute each day from the beginning to present, so I'm currently in January of 2018. I have a lady problem that would really love some help with. Thank you for any and all advice.
Oh, she's not going to. It's funny she didn't get this for another year.
Yeah. We'll tell her. Check out. I'm 24 years old and have been with my boyfriend for almost 5 years. We've been living together for almost 2 years now, and everything is really amazing. We love our lives together, have the best dog, puppy pics below, and love the city we live in. The problem is not with him. It's with my mom. Because of our work schedules and the fact that we are two broke kids trying to save money for things like rent, furniture, house life, we currently cannot afford doggy daycare, and our boy is still too untrustworthy to be left uncrated during the day. He would probably chew everything we own. 3 days a week, 3 days a work week, we're able to alter our schedules, so he's only crated for a couple hours. However, on the other 2 days, my newly retired mom comes to puppy sit and play with our dog. Here's the problem. My mom has no boundaries with personal space. If there is a single dish in the sink, she will do it and then act like she did a marathon of cleaning. If there are a few shirts in the laundry or even clean but unfolded in the hamper, she will either wash all of it or fold all of her laundry. Not only my laundry, but also my boyfriend's. We obviously share a hamper since we live together, and it makes us both feel extremely uncomfortable and a little bit violated that my mom is cleaning, folding our dirty laundry, including literal underwear. We are not slobs. We do laundry at least 3 times a week. Since I work in a daycare, kids wipe gross things on me all day, and we both try to work out so things get sweaty. Unless it is the once in a blue moon moment where we really got too busy, too tired for a few days to do laundry dishes, there will never be a, quote, mountain of filth that my mother describes voluntarily cleaning up. She's also constantly bringing things like food, toiletries, and leaving them on the kitchen table. This would be great if, one, we needed those things, and two, didn't have to then spend 2 days a week putting a ton of crap away when we could be spending that time together with our dog. It usually includes sweets. I'm trying to lose weight and don't bring sweets into the house, so I won't eat them, and clothes that we don't want, like, need. We never ask for anything except that she let the dog out to pee and feed him dinner, but she keeps doing all this other stuff despite having asked her not to uncountable times. She always says that she's trying to be helpful and continuing to do it anyway, no matter how persistent we are. If we are really adamant, she'll stop for a bit and then start up again until we remind her to stop, but it's wasting so much of our energy going through this cycle repeatedly. Also, here's the digger. She uses all of this as ammo to brag about how much she, quote, does for us, to everyone, including my boyfriend's mom as well as our landlord. My mother vividly describes scrubbing our disgusting house while watching our dog and how we never have to buy anything because of all that she brings over. Very not true. We have talked to her about how uncomfortable and angry this makes us multiple times, and she will stop for a week but then start bringing stuff cleaning again. We try to have everything completely clean the night before she comes, but sometimes we're just too tired and could care less about the single cup in the sink. So ladies, what do? We don't want our dog to be locked up for two long 8-hour days, but I also can't keep dealing with the repercussions of her coming here. Sidebar, I have ulcerative colitis and I'm supposed to avoid stress where I can, and she is literally causing me to have flare-ups from the stress of her either coming or the both of us getting weird questions about my mother trying to do me and my boyfriend's laundry from random people all the time who she happens to brag to. Neighbors, family, friends, really everyone, even random people I see at the dog park. I know she's just trying to help us out, but it's more stressful and frustrating to constantly have to feel on edge in my own house. As two young people doing a good fucking job of being responsible and getting their shit together, we're too prideful for her to be going around telling the world we can't afford shit like fucking toilet paper. We absolutely can, and we're apparently slobs. We are not. I'm at my wit's end, and I don't want my dog to suffer for this. I'm supposed to be getting a raise soon, and my boyfriend is currently looking for a better paying job so that we can not only save more, but hopefully afford doggy daycare for a couple of days a week. In the meantime, what do we do? Thank you all so much. Sorry for the excessive details, but I really wanted to paint the picture of how weird and violating this is so you could give the best, most specific advice possible. We both love the podcast and all the advice you give. Thanks, ladies.
Thank you for writing. Thank you for all the details.
Yes.
How does she start with, like, I'm this old, we've lived together this long. Yes. We're like, yes, these are what we need.
Wait, like, man, I thought we were about to have a dog problem, and we do not have a dog problem.
We have a mom problem.
Dogs, it's never the dog's fault.
Exactly. Yeah.
We have a newly retired mom problem, which I think is a big part of it.
I think that's part of it.
Yeah.
Can I die?
Yes. Get it.
I want to say, change the locks. Your mom is no longer invited over. Crate the dogs until you have to. Dogs are fine. They will survive.
Yeah. Change the locks? This seems too much.
No, I do. I think that the mom should be kicked out of this.
Yeah.
I still have the key, and I, no, I think, like,
yeah,
I think you change the locks. Yeah. And just say, hey, sorry, we don't need dog sitting. You have repeatedly not done very reasonable things we ask you. And so we're going to find an alternative.
I'm wondering if they have someone in their life who they could, like, swap dog care with. Like, maybe they have a different work schedule than you, but you could be their go-to when they go out of town. Like, do you have anyone that you could kind of do that with so that you're not having to pay for dog care?
That's a great idea. Be able to, like, be like, hey, can I drop them off at your house for, like, the day or whatever? And then we can exchange whenever you need that help, too.
Also, I feel like there are a billion dog walking apps that are probably a lot cheaper than full-day daycare.
There are, but are really expensive. I mean, does really add up. And if you're 24 years old and you're at your first big job, I mean, dog care is really expensive.
Yeah, it's definitely pricey for sure.
But yeah, I'm trying to think of ways to mitigate that. That can't, the mom can't be involved anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's like two separate things. There's like the immediacy of getting your mom, definitely, like, she can't do this anymore. So let's find a new solution for that. And we can come back to that. But I think also your mom has no identity currently, which is a big part of being newly retired, where it's like she had a job that defined her. And now that job doesn't exist. So she is trying to make herself busy and trying to like do, like, she's talking about this because this is like probably the only thing she's really doing. You know, I would say like, be like, you need to go volunteer. Your mom needs like some meaning in her life of some kind right now. Not to be, I mean, maybe she has something going on, but doesn't sound like it. If she's talking about this stuff with strangers.
Yeah, I don't think she's trying to talk shit about them. I think she's trying to like pump herself up and be like, look how much everyone needs me.
Exactly. Yeah, I think that's a big part of where it's coming from, for sure. And I think it's maybe kind of having like a blunt conversation with your mom about that and being like, look, this is a part of our relationship. I need you to like plan some lunches with your other retired friends. I need you to like find a thing that you're involved with that you can like find that sense of purpose in again. Because she probably like, you know, I think it's hard for moms sometimes where it's like culturally, it's like you're there for your kids and like you give so much of yourself to your kids and then you have a job and you give so much of yourself to your job and there's like really not a lot of emphasis put on like making sure that you retain something of who you are just for yourself. And I know that like that's something that like a lot of moms seem to have like a really hard time with like later in life where they're like, well, who the fuck am I? What do I even like? Like, I know these are the things that I do, you know? So I think like that's an important thing is to try to figure out like, see if your mom wants to like take a class or something like that. Like try, you know, is she into art? Is she into like, you know, what is she interested in? And like trying to get something to fill her schedule a little bit, you know?
You could do a class together so that you're still spending time together, even though she can't come into your home when you're not there anymore.
I don't think you need to cut her off, but definitely boundaries need to be set. And yeah, I think parents and kids, there's always going to be weird boundaries because it's like your mom literally pushed you out of her vagina.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
So, like, obviously she's...
yeah, yeah.
She can't change the lock to that, so... Yeah.
Boundary number one.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, exactly. We're good. So I think, like, but back to, like, the specific things with the dog. It's like, I think, what, it's a younger dog, right? So I get, like, why he doesn't have a lot of... It has
the dog has separation anxiety.
Oh, okay.
I don't think she said that, did she?
She said she would chew up the house if they left
there. Oh, right, right, right.
Yeah, that usually is.
Somebody, also, that may go away as the dog gets older.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody said, I'm just going to say some of the suggestions listeners had on here, because, you know, there was some good stuff. Somebody said maybe, you know, make the puppers part of your goal of getting in better shape. Run him out of energy before you go to work if you have to crate him, you know. It's not a bad idea.
I agree.
Yeah.
Kongs are good. I mean, these are all things that, like, you can try that, but don't work with every dog.
Yeah,
giving them something to, like, do while you're gone. I give mine, you know, as a vegetarian, they're so fucking nasty, but they're, like, these marrow bones that are just, like, dripping with blood and muscle.
Oh, they love those.
They love those.
They love those dogs, yeah. Yeah. Well, and, like, also, is your dog associating the crate only with, like, oh, you're leaving, or is the dog, like, are there, like, things in the crate for the dog to like be in so the crate feels like a safe place versus just like the thing that it's in when you're not there?
Yes.
You know, like, I think that's because what you're supposed to like leave a crate kind of open and like that way they can go to that as like their own spot.
They're like, the crate is my drippy bone place.
Exactly. Yeah. We want to teach them that the crate is the drippy bone place. That said, Garth has just recently started hating his crate. I don't know. They're also just like neurotic animals.
Yeah, definitely.
Here's a picture of the dog. It is very cute.
She's
very,
really
very cute.
Very cute.
Sweet,
so
babe.
But yeah, I think if you're not already wearing the dog out in the morning, that's a really good call.
Yeah.
Maybe we could get some cum underwear to get mom away from underwear.
You don't need to do all this laundry. Just put your fucking filthy laundry in the dog crate. The dog will go crazy all day.
She'll lick it clean.
Yeah, she'll love it.
I'm surprised that's not like a black market thing. Yeah. Sell your underwear to dog owners.
Yeah. Wait, what do dogs do with underwear? They just
eat them.
Eat it?
Yeah, they eat it. Okay. They lick it, eat it, chew it. It's just like a big piece of bubble gum for them. It's disgusting. Do you have any neighbors that could maybe pop over instead?
Also, yes, she works at a daycare. I don't know what the boyfriend does, but maybe if he's looking for another job, maybe one thing you can negotiate is the ability to bring your dog to work sometimes. Some workplaces are cool with that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Somebody said, try that. What is that neighborhood app? Whatever, Next door. Somebody might be on there who you could trade puppy time with.
Yeah, I think that's a good call. Yeah, I mean, even if, like, you can get, like, one of the days a kit taken care of, I think if it's, like, one day a week, your dog is, like, mostly in a, kind of has, like, a low energy day, just try to, like, make that the day that one of you really works them out in the morning. You can kind of chill out.
And I think, like, give yourself a second before you help mom with her. Like, give yourself a week where you're just like, I just don't want to talk for a second so you can not be, like, too pissed.
Yeah,
definitely. Yeah, I think,
because it sucks. It sounds like they've really tried to talk to her and she's just not, you know.
Yeah. No, I think it's definitely like, you can't do this anymore. You need to find something else in your life. I need to like not talk to you for a while because it's affecting your relationship with your mom, you know. And it's like, you want to have a good relationship. And like, she needs to understand that. Like, that's the stakes of this, maybe. I don't know if you've laid it out as like that or not, where it's like, you think that you're helping. You're actually just fucking this up more. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it's like, this is a perverted version of like the languages of love where it's like service is like the way that you show love. Like that's the way your mom's doing it right now, where she's like showing you I love you by being very suffocating and going over all these boundaries and doing all this stuff for you because she thinks she's helping. But you know, it's like no, there's other ways that you can help. This is not
also if you live in LA, my apartment is available if your mom needs somewhere to come during the day to do dishes and laundry.
You can help me.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, I think it's just like, let's get your...
Does the mom have a pet? Maybe she needs a cat or a dog of her own.
Get the mom a dog.
Yeah. Yeah, like get your mom something to baby instead of you.
Yeah.
That's what she needs.
Yeah, she needs a little white dog.
Yeah.
But
she's certainly welcome to clean at any of our houses.
She's interested.
Why is it more annoying when your own mom cleans? Like, everyone else's mom is welcome at your house, but I can see how you're like, mom. Yeah. No, anyone else, you'd be so fucking stoked.
But it also sounds like they're like already very clean people. Who's doing laundry three times a week? Also, you're a saint already.
That's a lot.
You're doing so good.
Wow.
That's so much laundry.
Are we all willing to, how often do you guys do laundry?
I probably do about three times a week because I work out a lot too.
You do it three times a week? Oh my God.
I have a machine in my house. I mean.
Like once
I mean, I do too, but I'm like once a month.
Yeah. Are you serious?
I'm once a month also.
Yeah, really? I'm about once a month. Maybe once every like 3 weeks or something. Yeah.
I mean, if I could get away with that, I would, but I just sweat through all my shit.
You might be shocked what you can get away with.
I don't know.
I got a lot. Once the underwear runs out, that's when I do laundry. That's kind of my thing. Same. And I've got probably about 3 weeks, 3.5 weeks worth of underwear probably.
Yeah, I'm always buying underwear for that reason.
But you're right. In the sweaty times, it is a lot more. Yeah. Or I guess I just like hunt more for things so I don't have to.
Yeah. Well, if I don't like wash my gym clothes right away, then like they're just
they're nasty.
Yeah.
See, I just kind of like will like rinse mine out like in the shower or whatever and just throw them over my thing to like dry that way.
Right.
And then I'll give them like a real wash like probably like once a month is kind of the way I do it. But then I also put all my clothes together in my laundry, which...
See, I do more probably because I separate out, too. It's like, okay, I'm doing my little bras today. I'm doing this today. Like,
I think if I had a machine in my home, I would do more laundry.
Yeah.
Yeah, when I didn't have a machine in my house, I would just throw away entire wardrobes. I just don't wear that anymore.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it's like when the hamper gets full is like kind of when I do it, but it takes a while to get to that place. Yeah.
Did we help? I hope.
Yeah, kick your mom out, and then whatever you decide to do with the dog will be fine.
Yeah.
And it is going to be a temporary problem, I think, as your dog gets older and or you start making more money. So,
Band-aid for the dog situation.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Full-on corrective surgery for the mom situation.
Yeah. I think the mom situation is the more pressing issue that will be around longer.
Panic room for the mom situation when she comes.
Yeah. Also, what if you just went to her house and were just like, filthy, 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 and just cleaned all of her stuff to be like, how does it feel, mommy? How is this? Do you like this?
How does it feel, mommy? No one should ever say never.
Maybe she won't come over anymore if you give her a couple how does it feel, mommies.
Tuck her sheets in real goddamn tight.
Oh, I do like a tight sheet. Okay. Ella? Where can people find you on the internet?
Follow me on Twitter at Hella Kale.
Hella Kale.
Yes.
Nice.
Go read her stuff. She's super funny, a great writer, and thank you for being on the show.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
Patreon members, we'll see you over there for a top secret session. If you don't know what that is, we do a top secret session with every guest. Comes out on Friday every week, and we talk about something that's too hot for the regular feed.
Whoa.
So if you're interested in that, go to patreon.com/ladytolady and see us.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Can't get enough of us? Subscribe to our Patreon for exclusive bonus content, access to our first 100 episodes, and more. Go to patreon.com/ladytolady now to sign up. As little as a dollar a month keeps a roof over the glam cave and keeps you laughing, even when your coworkers stare. That's patreon.com/ladytolady.
And don't forget to follow us on social media. We're on Twitter and Instagram at Lady to Lady Comedy. Join our Facebook group, Lady to Lady Podcast, to chat with other fans about episodes or even post your own lady problems. Check out our website, ladytoladycomedy.com, for show notes, videos, and merch.
And duh, follow our individual accounts, Babs Gray, Brandazzle, and Testify Barker for jokes and info and where you can see us perform live. And if you want to send us snacks, stickers, or a lock of your own hair, I don't know, whatever, our P.O. Box is 412-794 Los Angeles, California, 90041. And please, leave us a review on iTunes, but only if you like us.
We love you.
We love you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.